You're listening to the weekly sermon from Clarkston United Methodist Church in Michigan. We are a church dedicated to connecting people to people and people to God. To learn more, visit us at clarkstonumc.org.
Our scripture reading today comes from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. This is a translation from the Message. Hear these words. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem village, Judea territory, this was during Herod's kingship, a band of scholars arrived in Jerusalem from the east. They ask around, "Where can we find and pay homage to the newborn king of the Jews? We observed a star in the eastern sky that signaled his birth. We're on pilgrimage to worship him." When the word of their inquiry got to Herod, he was terrified, and not Herod alone, but most of Jerusalem as well. Herod lost no time. He gathered all of his high priests and religious scholars in the city together and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" They told him Bethlehem, Judea territory. The prophet Micah wrote it plainly, "As you, Bethlehem, in Judah's land, no longer bring up the rear, from you will be the leader who will shepherd rule my people, my Israel." Herod then arranged a secret meeting with the scholars from the east, pretending to be as devout as they were. He gave them to tell him exactly when the birth announcement star appeared. Then he told them the prophecy about Bethlehem and said, "Go find this child. Leave no stone unturned. As soon as you find him, send word, and I'll join you at once in your worship." Instructed by the king, they set off. When a star appeared again, the same star they had seen in the eastern skies, it led them on until it hovered over the place of the child. They could hardly contain themselves. They were in the right place. They had arrived at the right time. They entered the house and saw the child in the arms of Mary, his mother. Overcome, they kneeled and worshiped him. They then opened their luggage and presented gifts, gold, frankincense, myrrh. In a dream, they were warned not to report back to Herod, so they worked out another route, left the territory without being seen, and returned to their own country. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Please join me in an attitude of prayer. Holy God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This is a season of dreaming. This is a season of seeking. This is a season of making changes. Have you heard of Veganuary? Like vegan and January mushed together? Anybody heard of this? I had not heard of it until I watched the Great British Bake Off Holiday Edition. Apparently, it's an initiative out of the UK where people seek to go vegan for a month in January. I don't know if people do it typically for health reasons or for ecological reasons or if they do it just because they're curious, they want to make a change, but the push is to try something new for just a month. And if you yourself find yourself curious about a vegan lifestyle, by the way, Beth Gifford is leading a class here at CUMC about eating a plant-based diet, so you can check that out if that is something that interests you. How many of you have heard of Dry January? Okay, more people have heard of that. That also came from the UK originally, but as the name suggests, people try to go dry for the month. In other words, to cut out alcohol for a month. Studies have found that cutting back on alcohol consumption can improve sleep quality, blood sugar levels, it can improve your mood and your energy levels, and even just a month break in alcohol consumption can have health benefits for people. And so people are taking on the challenge, do something different for the month of January. Does anybody use book logging apps like Goodreads or Storygraph or something else? And okay, a few of you. This is the time of year when people often take on reading challenges and they decide how many books they want to read for the year ahead. And maybe it's a book or two more than last year, or maybe there's some genre in particular you want to read, but it's a kind of a fun time to think about the year's reading coming ahead. December 31st is a day when many of us are seeking ways to make changes. And whether we want to cut something out or take something on, the start of a new year invites us to think about where we've been and where we hope to go. What kind of person do we really want to be? What kind of changes do we want to make or need to make? What kind of nudges is the Holy Spirit giving us? What kind of call has God placed on us for this season? It's a lot to think about, really, particularly when you think that we've just come through Christmas and technically we're actually still in the Christmas season. Traditionally, Christmas was celebrated as a 12-day season. Some of you have heard this before, known as the Christmas season or Christmas tide, and it starts on December 25th and it goes all the way until January 5th, the 12th night of Christmas, and sometimes we call this the 12 days of Christmas, like the song. 12 is a holy number in Scripture. There were 12 tribes of Israel, 12 disciples of Jesus, and then there was a council back in 567, a medieval council, who decided there should also be 12 days of Christmas. And I think that decision was based a little bit more on politics and the calendar than it was on faith specifically, and yet people have kind of hung on to that. And who really wouldn't want to hang on to the joy of Christmas and celebrating Christ's birth for an extra couple of days? I think it's a fabulous idea. The Christmas season ends with another Christian tradition, the holiday of Epiphany, which means the appearance of God in our midst. And sometimes as Protestants, we do a big deal about Epiphany and we talk about it, and other times it kind of slides by and we don't really say much about it. It's not something that we celebrate as much of a holy day in our tradition as other faith traditions do. But most often, the story associated with Epiphany is the appearance of the Magi, wise ones from the East who recognize Jesus as the Messiah. That's the scripture passage you heard Pastor Jeremy read this morning. Here's how the story goes. King Herod was the king of the region, and Jesus had been born in Bethlehem, and then these wise people from the East appeared in Jerusalem to ask King Herod where Jesus was born. Now, often we talk about them as being from the East. What does that mean exactly? Were they from modern-day Persia? Were they from Asia? Was it modern-day Iraq or India or as far east as Korea or Thailand? I don't know if it changes our image of the wise men, the Magi, or not, but it's kind of interesting to think about. Scripture doesn't specify. There's many other regions in Scripture where we're told specifically where people are from. Somebody was from Babylon, or somebody was from Moab. And these folks are from far enough east, we just say they're from the east, which suggests that it was a pretty far journey indeed. Sometimes we call them kings. Usually we think of them as being a trio, I think because there were three gifts. But the truth is, Scripture does not give us that many details about these travelers. The translation that you heard Pastor Jeremy read this morning called them a band of scholars. A lot of times they're called magi, people of wisdom. There might have been three of them for the three gifts. There might have been four or five. Seven is a holy number in Scripture. 12 we just talked about. We don't actually know, and probably they didn't arrive as solo travelers like we often see in our nativity scenes. They would have had an entourage of aides and supporters and camel keepers, people who came with them, particularly on a very long journey like they were on. The story in Matthew echoes very closely another story from the Hebrew Bible or the Old Testament, where the Queen of Sheba comes to visit King Solomon. And she came seeking wisdom, and she herself was known for being very wise. And she brings with her three gifts. She brings gold, and she brings exotic spices from the land where she was from, just like the wise men in Matthew's gospel. So there's a lot of interesting things to think about related to this story, and there's a lot that remains a mystery about the Magi. But what we know from Scripture is that people of wisdom and learning traveled from a very great distance, so far that their country is not mentioned, and they came to see Jesus, King of the Jews, the Messiah. And they've seen a star, and they've watched it rise in the sky, and either they've been told or they somehow knew, maybe in a dream, maybe from the power of the Holy Spirit, they knew that this star would lead them to the newborn king. Now, the current king of the region, Herod, he hears about it. You know from the scripture that he's less than pleased. He plans to do harm to Jesus. Perhaps he feels threatened by a potential rival. Perhaps he's just irritated. Perhaps he's just kind of a mean king. There's other things in scripture. He's just kind of an angry, vindictive sort of person. But luckily, the Magi were warned in a dream not to go back and tell him where baby Jesus was and to go home by a different route. Each year, the 12 days of Christmas take us from December 25th to January 5th. They cross over the new year, and each year we're invited to encounter anew this story of the Magi, these wise travelers from the East, people on a journey, people who are seeking, people who are following stars and listening to dreams. And we too find ourselves often seeking at this time of year. We're looking for something more. We're ready to take a journey. We're ready to make a change. We're ready to take a chance. It's a season where we think about where we've been and where we find ourselves now and where we hope to go next, where God might be calling us next. I saw an Instagram post recently about New Year's resolutions posted by an account named Song of Sireneth, and I'm going to read you the post because I think it's fascinating. It said, "Every time I ask people if they do any New Year's resolutions, it's all, ooh, I don't like making them because I fail, or, oh, no, I couldn't keep up with that. And then, when they ask me, I tell them about Pasta Quest. I am eating as many different pasta shapes as possible in the shape of a year, or in the space of a year. Or I tell them about fruit adventures. Every time I saw a fruit I had never eaten before, I'd get one and eat it and read the Wikipedia article about it. Then they're like, hang on, I forgot you can make fun ones. I want a fun one." And that's the end of the post. I love this idea of fun resolutions. Or as somebody said to me after the first service, intentions. Fun resolutions, fun intentions, things that bring joy. People tend to think of New Year's resolutions as things that have to be solemn or serious or sort of painful, like maybe cutting out all sugar when you've been eating too much, or going to the gym every single day when you haven't exercised for a year. But have you ever thought about making a fun resolution? What about a fun resolution related to faith? Now, everybody's idea of fun is different, and it's highly subjective, so I hesitate to suggest what might be fun for you, because it may not be the same thing as what I would think is fun. For some of you, a fun resolution related to faith might involve getting a coloring book, maybe with scriptures in it, maybe not, that you can kind of prayerfully color throughout the year. Or for you, fun might look like picking out a kid's food item every time you're in Kroger that you can donate to our food pantry. Or maybe fun might look like going on a quest to find songs that bring joy to your soul, and that's your fun resolution for the year. Or maybe singing songs at the top of your lungs every time you're in the car. That sounds like fun to me. Maybe instead of Pasta Quest, you want to pursue Puddle Quest. Every time you find a puddle, you jump in it like a little kid, just to bring joy. Maybe also to remind you of your baptism and God who created puddles. Maybe you want to go on Creation Quest and spend as much time out in nature this year as you can. Maybe you want to go on an adventure called In the Garden. You know the name of the hymn, In the Garden. And every time you see a flower, you pause and admire it. Maybe stop to smell the roses. Have you ever thought about these kinds of things as a New Year's resolution? I had not. Maybe you, in your wisdom, have already done these kinds of things, and there's something else on the horizon for you yet to be tried out. It's okay to have joy. It's okay to have joy in our faith. It's okay to have joy in our resolutions. It's also okay to take on a challenge and do something that will stretch us or push us. And if we plan to take on challenges in the year ahead, it's helpful to remember that most journeys are long and we do not arrive at our destination overnight. Change doesn't happen quickly. So if your aspiration is to go to the gym or cut out sugar or become a vegan, well, it's probably going to take a while. It's going to take some time. Luckily, there's evidence in Scripture for this. Sometimes we think of the Magi as arriving in Bethlehem immediately after the shepherds. We think the shepherds were there, 30 seconds later the Magi appeared. We envision everybody coming around the manger all at once. We have beautiful nativity scenes depicting this image. And yet, these wise men were following a star that didn't appear until Jesus was born. And when you factor in studying the star and traveling, packing up their luggage, as the Message translation puts it, some scholars believe the wise men or the Magi did not arrive at Bethlehem until maybe Jesus was 2 years old. It took them a while, even these wise people of great learning. And so, you know, if it takes us more than a year to get a habit right, I think that's okay. It took the wise men 2 years or more to travel to Jesus. We stand at the threshold of a new year with new possibilities and an invitation to make a change, to do something different, to try something out. We're midway through the 12 days of Christmas, still focused on Jesus' birth, God's appearance in our lives, Jesus born among us in Bethlehem, and we read about wise travelers following their dreams, following stars. May we be these kind of people. May we be the kind of people who listen to dreams. May we be the kind of people who seek out stars. May we be the kind of people who listen for God's call and jump in puddles and seek out challenges knowing that it might take us a while. So I invite you to think about, as we stand poised to jump into 2024, are you feeling called to make a change? Are you feeling called to embrace joy in an unexpected way? What dream has been placed on your heart? Where is God leading you to that might be unexpected? Is there a new place God is calling you to go, a new thing God is calling you to try? Is there a risk you've never taken on that maybe 2024 is the time for? May we embrace this season of questions. May we embrace the season of dreams and traveling and journeys. May we, like the Magi, trust that God goes with us on the journey and that wherever we arrive, God will be there too. May it be so. Amen.
You've been listening to the weekly sermon from Clarkston United Methodist Church in Michigan. We are a church dedicated to connecting people to people and people to God. To learn more, visit us at clarkstonumc.org.